Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Take your calls a little later this hour. Allow you to come clean. Brought to you by GetGo. We sure will. We'll talk to Mike DeFabo in 1 hour. But right now, we go out to that very same hotline presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. And we talked to Jeff Hathorn, who was at MSG last night. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning, guys. And by the way, one of the bigger travesties pregame is that they had Jenna sitting far away from Mike DeFabo, which was just uncalled for.
Separation anxiety, yes.
He bugs the hell out of her enough.
Yes, that's... She probably enjoyed the privacy.
Yeah.
All right. That said, where do we start? I guess. Okay. Let's start with the big picture. Not last night. The big picture. Is the NHL have it wrong in that they allowed a series to be decided on one of their stars getting hit in the head, or is that just part of doing business in this league?
So I think all headshots should be a penalty. I mean, how many sticks are intentional? Very few, but yet it's still a penalty. If there's a headshot, it should be a penalty. I think it's funny that the NHL is so worried about player safety that if a guy's helmet comes off, they've got to immediately scamper to the bench. But yet if someone takes a headshot, it's probably not going to be a penalty. That to me is odd.
At the same time, sorry, Jeff, while that was the turning point in the series, it's also not the reason they lost the series. We can't this morning find one in particular thing to point at and say, that's why they lost the series. That's why they collapsed in games 5 and 6 and lost the third period lead in game 7. Can you put your finger on any one thing?
Well, special teams are obviously huge. 5 goals, 2 shorties, lost momentum on power play. Now, that being said, obviously they had 2 goals last night, and if not a shorty, right on the edge of being a shorty with Evan Rodriguez. But I think overall, the special teams let them down. Even if it wasn't a direct goal, those 5-on-3 opportunities, those are, you know, that's where you can build on leads. And they just failed to capitalize on them. Yeah, there are other reasons. Obviously, Crosby going out. Obviously, having your third string goalie, those are big factors too. But within the game, those not taking advantage and losing momentum on special teams, when you have as talented a team as they have, as currently constructed, is a huge reason why they lost.
Duncan, the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show, Jeff Hathorn joins. You said as currently constructed, it's about, a lot of people think, about to be deconstructed. Which pieces aren't here, particularly of the big three moving forward, and why?
Man, there are a lot of decisions to be made here. And I think the first one that we can't overlook is that the Fenway Sports Group has to decide if Ron Hextall is worthy of being the general manager next year. I think that is a big question. And if that's the case where they don't want Hextall, they've got to make that decision fairly quickly, because it's obviously going to cascade into thoughts on other players. I don't think Chris Letang will be back next year. I think his market value is going to be too high. And that goes back to the GM. Where are the Penguins at? Are they at a point where they need to start thinking about getting younger guys, or are they at the point where they want to make one more run with this group? How much less will Malkin take? What's Brian Russ asking price? I mean, who knows there, but the big three and Rust, those are some big questions that they have to get filled. And again, I think it starts with GM. I think it's a lock that Ron Hextall is going to be back.
Well, have you gotten any indications that there's a level of dissatisfaction within the organization at the job that he's done?
there's a level of dissatisfaction with a lot going on in the organization, from the team president to the team general manager. And I think there are going to be some really tough conversations internally to see what happens with this team, not just on the ice, but in the front office.
All right. Well, okay. We need to dial down on this just a little bit. Whenever the new ownership then took over, tell me what you know here. Was there a fact-finding mission done by their people? Did they survey the whole scene? Who essentially would be unhappy?
Yeah, I mean, what the Fenway Sports Group did is what any new owner did, and they went and looked through the entire organization, and they're looking at areas that they think they can improve. And obviously, four straight first-round losses, I think they're evaluating Hextall, and my point is there's not 100% confidence that that's the right choice. You're looking at a mega group that had some incredible experience across multiple sports that may be looking to upgrade in a couple of those positions.
Jeff Hathorne with us after covering the game at Madison Square Garden last night. Let's stay in that vein then. Let's stay in the front office vein because this is big, Jeff. They've also got the role of CEO to fill, which I imagine will then trickle down to president and GM, which you're indicating could have some question marks hanging over them. So when does that happen? Because you mentioned figuring out the general manager position is the first step in getting ready for the offseason, obviously a very big offseason, but wouldn't figuring that out only come after you figure out the person who's actually going to be running the entire operation?
Right, and obviously, normally that's the way it transpires. Every once in a while, you'll see a GM before a president if they decide to make a change there. But you're right. But I also think that this group has been talking about it, thinking about it. From all we understand about this group, is they're very prepared, they're very detailed, and they're not going to leave things dangling. So I'm sure they're having those discussions. And you know, it's going to be something that'll be quicker than what we've seen with the Steelers because the dynamic internally is a lot different, obviously, from an ownership standpoint. So, you know, free agency, draft, I mean, draft next month, free agency, and, a week or so after that. So they've got some decisions to make. And obviously, we know the names that are involved in their legacy in this town and on this sport.
Jeff Hathorne joins. Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. We see that the entities that this Fenway Sports Group holds, it doesn't ring true to me at all that if they are going to rebuild, they're going to want some long, protracted, let's do it, hit bottom, and do it right, and come on. This is going to be, if we got to lose, maybe we'll lose real quickly and nominally and just come right back. Is that the tack that you think they would take?
And guys, I look at it, and I don't know if you have similar thoughts. They're kind of in a situation like the Steelers have been in the last few years is, you know, you've got your captain that you want to make runs with when you have a player of that level that you think you can find magic. But is that what they have to figure out is, can they find magic with this current group, or can they keep Crosby? Can they make some shrewd off-season moves? Probably not trades because there's not a lot of commodity, but can they find some free agents they think are maybe one big one and a few that are undervalued that can rejuvenate this team quickly? I think that's where they're at. I don't foresee them keeping Sid and then blowing the rest of it up and starting with a bunch of 22-year-olds. But I think you'll see a little infusion of that, along with them trying to convince a free agent or two with name to join Sidney Crosby on a quest for a cup.
Jeff, could they do to Evgeny Malkin this offseason something similar to what the Steelers did to Ben Roethlisberger a year ago, which is make him an offer that they think is high enough to not blatantly out-and-out disrespect him, but low enough that they suspect he wouldn't take it? And could they then be staring down the barrel of a similar decision in Evgeny Malkin, a 36-year-old Evgeny Malkin, deciding, well, if he's going to play hockey at all, and he still wants to play hockey, the only place he wants to play is Pittsburgh, regardless of the number?
Yeah, I think that's an absolute possibility. And it's been reported, you know, that he would be willing to take less than what his, you know, $9 million plus contract is for this year, that maybe even a couple of million less to stay in Pittsburgh. He likes Pittsburgh. He likes not having to be the guy. I think that absolutely is an option. Obviously, whoever the GM is, if it is Hextall, has to decide that that's a smart financial move for the team. I mean, it's really going to be a fascinating offseason. And, you know, if you look at Geno's numbers, and yeah, some injuries have played in there, these last couple of years, just strictly numbers have been, you know, the worst stretch of his career. And obviously that would make sense at his age. Is he still worth taking a couple million less at $6 or $7 million if you're a team that's trying to get younger or what you're trying to do? There's a lot of decisions here.
Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Martz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. This is fascinating to me, all of it, in moving forward. Now, continue in that vein. What do you make of, and this is, you kind of got, they played games, obviously, a lot of them since then, but the Friedman and Carter contract, could that serve as, I don't want to say a tug of war between the general manager, the president, and the ownership group, but is that something that was, that the ownership group can point to and say, well, we don't like that?
Sure. Sure they could. You know, at the time, I think most people looked favorably because of the postseason that Jeff Carter had that, okay, they're going to make a run. They've got Jeff Carter back. But there is the flip side of why are you signing a 36-year-old to a couple-year contract? Is there, you know, are there other reasons other than just the pure on ice? Why are we, when we need to get younger, why are we investing in that? And, I mean, maybe not Friedman as much, but, yeah, I think the ownership group could absolutely scrutinize the Jeff Carter signing.
Where do they go first, I guess, this offseason, Jeff? Is it, if they have to prioritize Malkin, Letang, and Rust, taking all into account that you've talked about, Malkin willing to take a little bit less to stay in Pittsburgh, Letang probably looking to maximize market value with several good years left, and Rust obviously looking to cash in on one big contract, being as he's almost 30 years old, where do they prioritize?
So I think they have to find out what Rust's numbers, what his number is. But I think the most of the three, the one that's going to be highest on the list is Chris Letang as far as value or interest from other teams. Letang at 35, you know, he's top five in minutes, top eight in points for defensemen, top six in assists. I mean, the guy can still play the game at a high level. He can quarterback a power play, and I know he's been he can make those mistakes too that really get you frustrated. But there will be interest in a defenseman that can play that kind of minutes with that kind of pedigree. You know, of those guys, that's going to be the toughest one to sign based on money, because there may be a team, Montreal, that will offer a lot of money at Chris Letang.
Just because you're traveling with the Penguins and because you're in New York and you're on your way home, we're not letting you off the hook, even though you just broke all that hard news, and we absolutely thank you for it. Pro Golf Weekend Rewind, brought to you and presented by Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. You have to bring us that because, well, you do every Monday. Jeff, what do you got? What you see in golf this week?
Yeah, it's PGA Championship week finally. So another major, and KH Lee just owns the Colonial. Another win at the Colonial. But what was cool is at one point they had 20 guys within three shots of the lead. Let's hope that carries over. Let's hope Jordan Spieth and Xander Schauffele and Hideki Matsuyama and Justin Thomas all bring that kind of game to the PGA Championship because it's going to be a lot of fun this week. But, yeah, congratulations to Lee, winning again at Colonial at Spieth course and able to beat him by a shot.
No Penguins and PGA Championship jokes either because, they're going to be playing golf, right? Yes, stay away.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff,
yeah.
Safe travels home. We appreciate your coverage as always. And, great stuff from you this morning. Thanks again, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. That's
thanks,
Jeff Hathorn. We're going to talk to him again tomorrow. We talk to him every Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
I think.
I think he deserves another few minutes after that news.
Yeah, that was something.
Not 100% sold on Ron Hextall being the GM going forward.
Yeah.
Nor necessarily it sounded like Burke as president.
I agree with that. That's what I infer there. Twitter, check us out there. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township, or visit them at southhillsjeep.com. Adam Crowley, anyway. Oh, Adam Crowley's talking to him on the horn. I'll get you in just a minute, Adam, after I tell you everything that's going on here. But Mike DeFabo, he joins at 9 o'clock. Adam, maybe for the 9 o'clock hour, kind of reset some of what Jeff said in deeper into the 9 o'clock hour, if we could clip some of that. That's good stuff.
Oh, I can clip it.
Did that surprise you, what he said about Hextall and Burke?
And in fact, he just told me off the air that he's hearing a lot about that right now.
Woo. Wow.
A lot about that.
Is that aftermath, sort of secondary shock to just what happened? Well, or, you know, I wonder.
Think about it this way. If you like the guys that make up the core of your team, right?
Right.
And you like your head coach, where does the fault fall then on the guys that were added to the mix over the last year or two that yet again you haven't solved the problem of exiting early?
Okay, let's go back. Can those guys say, listen, I was here to do a cleanup job though, and my cleanup job isn't all the way complete?
If, they could argue
you know,
that.
You see what I'm saying?
But at the same time,
I'm not saying I have their back with
no,
that.
I know.
I'm just saying I'm trying to play.
It's a really good point because I think that's the first thing Burke and Hextall would say.
You just
brought us in here. What are you doing throwing the baby out with the bathwater now? We're still working on this, guys. And ownership group could say, yeah, well, not good enough. We expected by this point you'd have the heir apparent for Letang, the heir apparent for Malkin.
And you gave Carter 2 years.
Right, and you gave Jeff Carter a two-year contract.
Yes.
Nothing against big Jeff Carter. I love the way he's performed since he's come over, but he's 75 years old, and the other big extension you gave out was Mark Friedman. Like, this is not the rebuild or the retooling on the fly that we were anticipating. We're cutting bait now. We're not going to sit around and let you finish
the job.
And
there's times that Jeff Carter looks like he should be playing at Neville at 11 o'clock at night.
I mean, it's fun to play with. I'll give you that. I'd have a couple of hockey beers
with
him.
There are times he has great shifts, and then other times where he looks like
He's 37?
Correct.
He was lost in the defensive zone this series at times, too. I mean, how does that happen when you're 39 million years old?
Absolutely agree. Let's dive deep into this helmet gate in just a little bit. And Mike DeFabo, again, he joins coming up at 9 o'clock. It is 8:18. Time to call Shendarovich, Shendarovich and Fishman. Why pay 40% when you can pay 25%? Call 888-98-TWINS. And speaking of making the call, look out your window today, and it is dark and dreary and rainy and awful, and put your hand up against it. With all this rain, maybe you got water coming in. Bad news. I mean bad news if you've got water coming in. Window Nation is there for you. They're going to get in. They're going to make sure you have the right windows in your house. They're going to protect it from that water coming in, that wind coming in, all of it. And you can't have water come in because it'll screw up your house. It will. Get good windows. 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION. And listen to this deal. If your windows aren't making the grade, here's what you need to do. Window Nation's got you covered. 0% financing for 5 full years. That's 60 months. That's 0% financing for 5 full years, and get 2 free windows with every 2 that you buy. Listen, they measure each window 3 times to ensure the proper fit. Over 10,000 online positive reviews. Check them all out right now. 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Are they grinding Letang down a bit much? I just looked this up here. Mm. Somebody had sent me this, and I cross-checked it, and it's right. So people marvel at the amount of minutes Letang plays, and rightly so. And listen to this. This will blow you away. And a lot of times it's by necessity, or they go longer games or whatever. But is it still the best plan moving forward? The last 18 times in the playoffs he's played 25 or more minutes,
mm-hmm.
the Penguins are 4-14.
Hmm.
That speaks to the depth on defense and who you can trust.
Right.
And especially the third pairing. A lot of times you'll see, I mean, who's it been in the past? The Ruedels of the world and people like that, where you say, can you give me 6 minutes? You know, can you give me, and they are invisible in the third period a lot of times. And understandably, you don't want You don't want Jack Johnson making the mistake in the third period. But that said, have they ground this guy down to where it's too much? I'll never knock his conditioning. I'll never say that he shouldn't be out there in big moments. But do they need to borrow from different moments at times?
Maybe. I mean, I still look at Chris Letang and ask myself this. Is there anybody better on this team's blue line right now? No. Is there anybody else you'd rather have carrying the heaviest minutes on this team? No.
No.
So if I don't look at it, it's a great number. It's a great stat. I don't know, though, if I can draw anything else from that other than the fact that the rest of the defensive core needs to be better.
I agree, especially the bottom of it.
Yeah, Mark Freeman played 12 minutes last night, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not – we've seen Chicago. Chicago, when they won the Cup the three times, I mean, they played two pair.
Well, this gets back to Jim Rutherford handing Jack Johnson a contract and saying, here you – and people like that. And
Mike Sullivan running off Ian Cole.
Correct.
You know?
And luxury things such as that, they will, if he goes, they'll miss his minutes a lot. But I think the right tack is to keep him around and insulate him some.
You remember, I mean, it's been a while. It's probably been like, geez, I'll go back 8, 9, 10 years. This organization was so filthy rich with young defensemen at one point. And now here we are. We never anticipated we'd get to the end of Chris Letang's career. And granted, he may still have 3 or 4 good years left.
Harrington and Pouliot and all those
guys.
All
of them. We never anticipated we'd get to a point where they just wouldn't have enough talent on the blue line. But they managed, between trading it away for other assets, between guys not developing, Derek Pouliot, between guys getting, you know, juggled around, they're in a bad spot now.
I would keep him, but it's, you say, then where do the answers come from on the blue line, you know?
You've got to find a way to dispatch with either a Marino or a Pettersson and their contract this offseason. I think both of those guys can be good in smaller doses than what they've had to provide over the last couple of years. I was really high on Marino when he first debuted. So was the organization. That's why they gave him the contract extension.
Right.
Pettersson has had his moments here and there. But, I mean, if you could peel off one of those contracts and give yourself the breathing room to perhaps build this defensive core up, especially if Letang's going to take off for Montreal or anywhere else for $9 million a year. If you could rebuild this defensive core instead of an upside-down pyramid in the way the minutes are doled out, in more of an even column kind of distribution, I think you'd be better off.
Number one defenseman Mike Matheson just doesn't do it.
Oh, no,
for
no,
me.
No, 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 no.
I mean,
no,
nor no. Do it. Pucks going off him into the wrong net is
three times.
Just troublesome. Absolutely troublesome. Top of the hour, Mike DeFabo joins. Coming up next, Helmet Gate. A deep dive into Helmet Gate and what happened with Pettersson, because there's lots to talk about in that realm. But right now, playoffs are rolling. You can make every game count. Feel like Game 7, FanDuel Sportsbook, partnership with Valley Forge, an official partner of the NBA. And, man, there is NBA action happening.
Yeah, conference finals. They are here. They are upon us. And are you ready? Are you ready to break down which team is deeper and will play stronger defense in the East, Boston or Miami? Are you ready to gamble, literally, that Luka Doncic can carry the Mavericks past what has quickly become a very deep Golden State Warriors team? I don't know. Whatever you think the outcome may be, they've got you covered at FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 93.7 The Fan, because throughout the NBA playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay each week. You get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. If you already have an account, you're all set to bet, no sweat. And new users, you know that first bet is risk-free up to $1,000 when you use our promo code FAN. That's F-A-N with FanDuel, an official partner of the NBA. 21+ and present NPA. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet, $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, so the Penguins made it 3-2 last night on the Rodriguez. Unbelievable individual effort. It did go down as a shorthanded goal. I thought it was right on the number, right when he was coming out of the box. I guess not. But But, yeah, so it was a shorthanded
goal. It was
technically a shorty. Yeah, and so it was an unbelievable effort. It's 3-2 there, and you think, okay, maybe after the Keandre Miller goal, after Gensel's ridiculous stuff that he pulled off, the game will settle at the end of the second, and that maybe that'll be all the scoring you see. They'll be able to hold the lead, and they did. Man, did the Penguins hold the lead for 13 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, here we go. This could be it, the Rodriguez goal. And then you get Helmetgate that people want to – now, this is one of those built-in moments, I think. This is just my opinion, where it's selectively you're able to put your finger on something and blame, at least for me. Now, Pettersson's helmet comes off. It's ripped off. If you want to try to sell to me that there's a penalty there, I'm with you in October. It's not the way these games are called. Is that right or wrong? I'm not here to debate that. You're not going to get that call in the playoffs.
You're not with 5 minutes left in game seven.
And then what happens is Pettersson goes to the bench. Letang comes on the ice. I'll let you hear Sullivan and Jari, both guys, about this in just a moment. But it seems like too many people are clamoring for this affected the play. I tweeted this play out, the Zibanejad goal that happened. Go watch it. Letang absolutely finds his way back into the play. He's the player that comes on when Pettersson goes off. He finds his way back into the play. He's on the ice for long enough to find where he needs to be. Marino makes a terrible play along. First, he loses a battle along the boards. Then he pushes the puck into the middle of the ice instead of just whipping it around behind the net and just letting it go. That's where this was
lost. Even just pinning it to the wall and fighting a little bit to maybe get it up the boards and out if you can.
Just something other than the middle of the ice. Yeah. So that's what happens. Nonetheless, Sullivan wants to talk about a helmet situation.
He has to come off by the rule. How do you feel about that? I think it stinks. He has to come off. His helmet got pulled off intentionally. But that's the rule.
Okay, couldn't he have reached... Now, I understand the difficulty in doing it with a glove on and a chin strap and everything. Do you have to come off, or can't you reach down and grab your bucket and put it back on your head?
You can put it back on. Taylor Haas did looking into this last year when there was a game where John Marino had a helmet knocked off in the Islanders series and immediately raced off the ice, and I think it led to a Cal Clutterbuck goal in that game. And the Penguins sought clarification after that because they wanted to find out, because the rule is somewhat vague. It doesn't say any, it states right. you can attempt to put the helmet back on, but if not, you got to go to the bench, get off the ice, all that. So I would imagine they had some sense of clarification after last year's incident. And instead, Pettersson goes running off the ice like the ice is lava.
Right. And now...
And he could have just picked it up and put it back on.
Adam, I want you to hear what Jari said about it and then go.
I just saw Marcus get off the ice. I think that's a rule made by the NHL that could be changed. I don't think there's many injuries that happen when players play without helmets. I think it's something it's cost us. I think that he loses his helmet, he comes back to the net, and he plays the guy out front. I think that's a nothing play.
I'm tired of the excuses. It's such a loser's mentality. Mm-hmm. You blew a lead for the third straight game. I don't need to hear about his bucket coming off. A, he can grab it. He didn't, so that's his folly. But B, you blew a lead again. And I'm tired of hearing, oh, well, it was Domingue the first time around, so that's why they blew the lead. And, oh, boy, they were shell-shocked because Sidney Crosby was hurt, and that's why they blew the lead. Now it's because Marcus Pettersson, of all people, loses his helmet. Chris Letang got back. He could have gotten in position. John Marino does not need to absentmindedly throw the puck into the middle of the freaking ice.
Championship teams survive those moments and persevere and push through them at least once out of the three moments that you just cited.
Yes.
Teams that aren't championship caliber make excuses when they fail in all three moments.
They shot it over the glass 17 times in that Washington series in 2016. They
still
won
got
the game
out alive. Yeah.
Because you had an opportunity. After this happened, you still had an opportunity in overtime not to commit a penalty. You had an opportunity in overtime to score the first goal and win the game and win the series and move on, and you didn't. This is such a loser's mentality by them.
I can't believe we heard more from Mike Sullivan complaining about some nuances of a rule where a player's helmet came off than we did him coming out and saying, I don't like that Jacob Trouba hit my guy and knocked his head off. Like, Sullivan can't comment on stuff whenever Jacob Trouba knocks Sidney Crosby's head off because of the code, but he could come out and say, this rule stinks with the NHL. Why? I don't think I'm crazy for asking that question. Why is he okay to question the NHL about their helmet on your head rule, but he can't question the NHL about this guy who is a superstar and Raquel both get their head knocked off and there's no call?
No, it's a great point, Colin. And it's look, as much as I understood to an extent why Sullivan didn't want to give his team excuses or provoke them into perhaps going after Trouba and some sort of retribution for the hit on Crosby by maybe just mums the word. At the same time, you can't get as upset as they are about this ridiculous helmet thing and then seemingly have no care in the world whatsoever. I mean, remember how Marcus Pettersson tried to explain it away almost for the benefit of Jacob Trouba?
Yes.
After game five? Like, oh, it's a hockey play. Things happen. No, it is a turning point in the series. It's not why they lost the series, but it's the turning point in the series, Crosby taking a headshot, and yet nobody complained about that nearly as much as they complain about a stupid helmet.
You know what I think it is? I think it's Mike Sullivan thought if he commented on the headshot to Sidney Crosby, his guys would get off the game.
Right.
But now that the series is over, he feels like he can say something about this.
I get that logic, and that makes sense the way you're presenting it. It still doesn't make up for the fact that you have a better chance to impact the outcome of the series after game five, mm-hmm, than after game seven. We see coaches in all sports in the middle of series, in the middle of games, try to influence the way the rest of the game or the rest of the series is called by saying something about the officiating. Mike Sullivan had that opportunity after game five to try and influence the way game six and seven were called, and he didn't take it.
Barry Trotz did it in every,
yes,
single series that he coached in.
John Cooper, too.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You're right about that. I can't be on. First of all, I'm not on board with this because it's wrong. It's wrong. They're blaming the wrong thing. If they,
right,
want to come out and say the truth about what the goal was, the 3-3 goal that made it 3-3, the Zibanejad goal, it was Marino lost his mind, and Letang made kind of a he didn't know what to do.
Marino panicked. There was a little bit of panic from Letang jumping on the ice in that situation, and they all left their goalie in a situation where I think he kind of panicked too.
And it was a
rocket. He kind of retreated. It was a great shot.
They let a rocket happen, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Pettersson turned around to bitch about it, though. And if he doesn't, maybe Letang has a little bit more time to think about it.
If he reaches down for his helmet, mm-hmm, instead of complaining. I mean,
the irony here is that this is a rule that's designed for player safety in a, mm-hmm, league that doesn't give a rip about player safety and obviously,
yeah,
doesn't because of what happened with Trouba and Crosby earlier in the series.
Crazy. Mike DeFabo, top of the hour. What a day. We'll get back on the gripe train in just a minute, because I got a gripe. While we're on the gripe train,
yeah,
this morning, right? It's rolling
choo-choo
full speed.
And another thing.
Somebody texted. We do get money every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at about 6:25 or so.
Uh-huh.
Guy says he hit that Zane Smith pick that I gave on Friday, but he says it was plus 6,000. That's a bit much. I don't think it was. No, no. It may have been an
I'll
extra zero.
Because I plugged it in.
Was it plus 6,000? Because I did not.
Hold on, give me a second.
Sadly,
throw my FanDuel out.
I forgot to bet it.
I'm never going against,
yes,
your son.
You're eating
again.
You're eating as you're talking. I love it. Keep
I am.
Going.
I'm a professional. I bet you Zeiss has done that before, right?
No, never.
Zeiss once ordered. When we were working from home, you did not hear the story. We had these mobile units, but we just used our phone.
It was plus 600, not
plus 600.
6,000.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Zeiss went and ordered his food from Pepe's during a segment and didn't tell people that. He just pulled up to the curb. He's like, yeah, Zeiss. Okay. And Pitt Basketball. We'll be joined by Jeff Capel later. And then.
412-928-9370.
You can hear the guy. Ding, he takes his seatbelt off here. Ding, ding, ding. And then you hear the guy give the bag through the window.
There were more car noises, uh-huh, during an average Zeiss show during the pandemic than you get during an actual car show. I mean, like you said, the ding of the door when it opened. You'd hear. I mean, it was
the thing about the Pepe's Capicoles.
Yes. He once played golf in West Virginia and drove home doing the show. The whole just driving on 79. doing the show, which is spectacular. About the gripe train. Now I forgot where I was going to go on the gripe train. Oh, the Trouba sign. I'm still miffed about that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So I went to the game on Friday night, and we implored everybody to go ahead and make Barry Trouba signs. Usher tells me they told them these aren't good. You can't have. We don't want these in the building. I'd love to find out exactly what the chain of command was and who said no Trouba signs.
Yeah, I'd like to know that as well.
And how it went down and if it came from arena management.
Because it's just another thing that backs up the assertion that people have that the crowd at PPG Paints Arena is pinkies up in the air rather than icy light swilling general public that would go back in the day. And it's true. You know, back in the day, you could walk in with a big bright yellow Barry Trouba or Barry Graves sign in that case, and the atmosphere was incredible. And I'm not taking anything away from the people that were there
right.
for Game 6 in particular. It was a phenomenal atmosphere. I'm not trying to downplay what you did in either Games 3 and 4 or 6, but it's just it adds more to the atmosphere. A nice big Barry Trouba. What if there had been like a dozen of them? And it sounds like there may have been at least that many.
What if people would have came dressed as like Undertakers or whatever? Would they have told them to take it off? Honestly, where are we? We are so freaking soft with stuff like that. There's no, it was clearly hyperbolic and not literal.
Exactly right, Colin. And now that we're talking about this, I mean, it just depresses me to no end that that guy did not get his comeuppance either physically or with the Penguins winning the series, because that guy's a true villain, and true villains deserve to lose. And he couldn't hold up the signs, so he didn't even have to face that.
Right.
He didn't have to face the Roman Coliseum.
Just got some boos when he touched the puck.
I know.
Such a turd.
I mean, he got the same treatment that Igor. He got the same treatment. Mm-hmm. The same exact treatment. We're going to play some of this Jeff Hathorn. I'm going to give you a taste. Let me give you an appetizer. We'll dive into this a little deeper in the 9 o'clock hour. Listen to what Hathorn just told us not long ago.
I think they're evaluating Hextall, and my point is there's not 100% confidence that that's the right choice. You're looking at a mega group that had some incredible experience across multiple sports that may be looking to upgrade in a couple of those positions.
Uh-huh. This is news this morning. And I don't. It's obviously not knee jerk. It is something where the wheels have been turned. It's not like, okay, you lost in Game 7. We're thinking about the GM and the president, maybe.
Look at some of the bigger moves they've made, and they've only been on the gig for 15 months. But you could go back to giving away Jared McCann. I think he would have been fairly useful. Especially when you're talking about a team that needs to get younger. Talk about giving a 37-year-old Jeff Carter a 2-year contract extension. Talk about giving Mark Friedman, as much as I like what he does at times, he's a third-pairing defenseman. He's a 6th, 7th defenseman. Giving him a contract extension. I like the deal for Raquel. But I mean, that's one of the few bright spots on the CV for this group over the last 15 months. And it strikes me that Fenway is coming in and saying, well, that's great, but we didn't hire you. We're not beholden to keeping you around.
Also, with the behavior at Fenway Park, they absolutely would let in Barry Trouba signs.
You would think.
Yeah. do you think if you're Ron Hextall this morning, Adam, where are you in terms of – this is kind of one of those Berenstain Bears. Is that – not the Berenstain Bears. Those Bears that losing it today. Where they is the porridge too hot? Is it
Goldilocks.
Goldilocks and the three Bears. I'm losing my mind. Where do you think Ron Hextall's porridge is this morning that he tastes? Is it hot? Is it just right? Is it cold? I mean
– someone pooped in his porridge.
Yes. I bet he's not very comfortable. And that's just not because of what Jeff Hathorn said.
Well, here's the deal. If Jeff is hearing about it and other people are hearing about it, not to take anything away from their reporting skills, but that means it's out there. And people are openly speaking about it. People in the organization are openly saying, well, you know, he might not be the guy making those decisions.
If Craig Riley took a job in California tomorrow, programming a big station out there, and they hired someone new, I know I would feel a little bit nervous about my standing here.
Sure.
Because the guy who's here didn't hire me. So you don't know. And if you're Ron Hextall, you've overseen now 2 first-round playoff exits, And that's not good enough, especially for an organization that has had the success that they've had, and for the Fenway Sports Group, that they don't like losing all that much.
Right. No.
I know if
Poopy
Andrew
porridge.
I know if Andrew Filippone had a big Game 7 party and Craig Riley knew about it and didn't tell me, I'd be wondering about some poopy porridge.
It'd be nuts, yeah. Mike DeFabo, top of the
Make
hour. We talk to him. Can't wait to do that. Fan weather. I don't know if it's clearing or not, but it's definitely lighter than it was about an hour ago. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. For a great deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle and great service, you're going to find it at Sun Chevrolet. Today, rainy, cool, high of 68. Tomorrow, sunny, high of 70 degrees.
That's the weather.
That is the weather. Thank you, Paul. The Crowd Man here for the all-new Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. It has the real Pittsburgh sports fan covered. Download it now at the App Store, Google Play Store, or at betparks.com. BetParks has you covered betting on futures. All you got to do, and this is really easy, is click futures. Four teams remain in the NBA. On a $50 futures bet, you'd make $60 betting on Golden State if they win the title. Maybe not the best money value there. Boston, we saw what they did to Milwaukee. They're plus 200. So a $50 bet on them would pay out $100. If you bet $50 on Dallas, it would pay out $300. So just go to futures. All you got to do is click that, and you can bet there. Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. It's go time. Must be 21 or in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.